This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. Former Pennsylvania Attorney General Kathleen Kane is now serving a 10 to 23-month sentence behind bars. She's convicted of leaking secret grand jury material to a Philadelphia newspaper and then lying about it under oath. Once considered a rising star in the state's Democratic Party, Kane fell hard after orchestrating a plot to get back at a rival prosecutor named Frank Fina. It was one of the messiest scandals in Pennsylvania's political history. Today, porn leaks and petty politics, what led to Kathleen Kane's downfall. WHYY's Katie Colinari and Craig McCoy of the Philadelphia Inquirer covered the saga. They helped walk my co-host Shai Ben-Yaakov and me through it.
Kathleen Kane was the first woman and the first Democrat elected Attorney General of Pennsylvania. She was fairly briefly a county prosecutor in the Scranton area where she grew up.
I loved being out on the crime scenes. I loved being in the courtroom. And it really gave me a sense of that we are the last line of defense against an injustice.
One of her themes that really resonated for voters was she raised the question as to whether Penn State had been treated unfairly in the probe into Jerry Sandusky, the child molester. That really resonated with a lot of Penn State alumni in the state and helped her just breeze into office. As it happened, the person who led that investigation was a state prosecutor called Frank Fina. And her criticisms of Fina's role in that investigation helped set the scene for the scandal that followed.
Fina had been part of the prosecutorial team of Kane's predecessor, Republican Tom Corbett. Kane thought Corbett had slowed the Jerry Sandusky investigation for political purposes. Fina left the state's attorney general's office after clashing with Kane before she had even taken office in January of 2013.
So she comes into office and is looking into the Jerry Sandusky investigation. What does she do specifically at that point?
Well, she appointed a law professor to review the investigation.
Kane's real troubles began about 1 year into her first term when the Philadelphia Inquirer broke an unflattering story about how she had quietly shut down a sting operation that had ensnared six Democratic leaders from Philadelphia in a bribery scheme.
I, as a reporter for the Inquirer, and a colleague, Angela Columbus, revealed in a detailed story that in her first year in office, she had secretly shut down a sting investigation run by Fina, the same prosecutor around the Sandusky probe, that had caught numerous state lawmakers from Philadelphia on tape pocketing cash.
Can you just briefly describe what was involved in that sting investigation?
Yeah, Fina took a politically connected businessman who had been arrested in 2009 on charges of defrauding a state food program and flipped him and turned him into a undercover operative. And for 3 years, he wore a wire and other surveillance equipment, including the ability to film people through his glasses. And sort of just so hung out.
James Bond technology?
Yeah.
And hung out and pursued his political connections and ended up offering bribes to numerous lawmakers. And six of them took the money and were filmed doing so.
Now, in this latest roundup, those accused are allegedly took anywhere between $750 and $2,000. The DA called them desperate.
When this case was brought to Kane's attention, rather than pursuing it further or bringing charges or anyone, she secretly just shut it down. And when we brought what we knew to Kane, she confirmed all of it. She said that she had ended the investigation because she thought it was would be a weak case in court. She was worried that there was racial profiling because all of the defendants were black. And so she said she ended it. Kane was outraged, we later learned from the trial, about this news story.
She blamed Fina for essentially giving you guys the story.
Right. Then her fatal error was she then plotted to repay him in kind. She then leaked material, grand jury material, which is closed off by numerous secrecy provisions, to the Philadelphia Daily News, which in turn wrote a story that raised questions about FINA's handling of an investigation involving a prominent Philadelphia civil rights leader named Jerry Mondesire. It primarily was a story that was critical of Mondesire, but kind of in passing got a few digs into FINA.
Chris Brennan, the Philadelphia Daily News reporter who wrote the story, did not reveal his source.
How it was revealed later was that there was this letter that FINA and the other prosecutors who had been contacted by Brennan for the story wrote to this judge who'd presided over the grand jury investigation into Mondesire. And in this letter, they essentially said this email contains confidential grand jury information, evidence that would be secret. Somebody probably committed a really serious crime here.
Okay.
And the question was who? So that November, Kane testifies before a grand jury saying that she authorized the release of this information, but it was legal. And the grand jury doesn't buy it. They say Kane broke the law. She knew she broke the law and lied under oath when she testified before them. And the next month, the grand jury recommends that Kane be charged. And that's exactly what the Montgomery County DA's office does the following summer.
And the Pennsylvania Attorney General Kathleen Kane devised a scheme to secretly leak confidential investigative information and secret grand jury materials directly to political operatives in the hopes of embarrassing and harming former state prosecutors.
But in the midst of the grand jury recommending that the state's top law enforcement officer be criminally charged, Kathleen Kane also brings this other powder keg to light.
Porngate scandal.
398 pages, much of it hardcore porn. Names have now been named, X-rated material exposed.
You'll recall that she had early on appointed this law professor to look into how the office before she took over had investigated Sandusky. As part of that, he took a look at emails in the system that were exchanged among investigators and discovered, really stumbled upon the fact that prosecutors and detectives and defense lawyers and judges, sheriffs, all of them, including some women, had been for years exchanging porn on their state email system and using the state computer hubs.
The first time you saw these emails, what was your immediate reaction?
Oh, my God.
Kane, in effect, did nothing with this information for several months. But then in the fall, when she was under heavy scrutiny for the leak, she weaponized it.
And it began with the group of state prosecutors and judges passing pornographic, racially offensive, and religiously offensive emails amongst each other.
She held one of the most bizarre news events, and certainly in Harrisburg history, where she brought reporters into a room to look at porn. It later turned out, now that we know a lot more about it, that literally hundreds of people had swapped the porn, I think in the range of 400 people.
Jeez.
All allies and or prosecutors or detectives who had worked with Frank FINA.
As good reporters, you had to, like, look at this porn to see what it was all about. And so, Katie, you saw some of it. What was your reaction?
I remember our health reporter at our partner station in Harrisburg had to go there and pick up a disc for me and pull those files off of the CD. And I will tell you, you're never quite prepared to receive a file called porn at work. It made me kind of wonder, you know, how this could have been possible with all of these hundreds of state employees looking at this. But I felt quite embarrassed. I remember downloading one particular really explicit video and watching it for about 5 seconds before I like just started turning around at my desk and like just praying nobody was going to walk behind me. It was really explicit stuff.
So what was Kathleen Kane's aim in releasing these emails, and what was the impact that they had?
In releasing the porn, she was trying to make a case that she was being victimized by a group of sexist, misogynistic men who were upset at the fact that a woman was leading the office.
When's the last time there was a woman and a Democrat in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania who didn't have to go through what I'm going through?
It became a really big part of her defense, although it's important to note that it wasn't part of her legal defense. The judge in the case actually said her attorneys couldn't bring up the Porngate scandal because it wasn't relevant to the case at hand over whether or not she'd leaked or orchestrated this leak of the secret grand jury material.
So how did the trial go?
Yeah, so the trial happened in August of 2016. It happened in Norristown at the Montgomery County Courthouse. Their prosecutors laid out all of the ways that Kane orchestrated this plot to release the secret grand jury material and get back at Frank Fina. Prosecutors said Kane's actions revolved around, quote, lies, leaks, and lawlessness. And they really painted this picture of this very cold revenge plot. And the most stunning things to me were the text messages that Kane exchanged with the political consultant who confessed to delivering the documents to the reporter, Chris Brennan.
She retaliated, according to a court complaint, saying in an email to her media strategist, "This is war."
The jury found Kane guilty of perjury, conspiracy, and other charges. For the last 2 years, she has remained out on bail while she exhausted her appeals. But last week, the state Supreme Court refused to hear her appeal. She entered a Montgomery County jail just before 8 o'clock last Thursday morning. As for Fina, he's in private practice after quietly leaving the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office, where he'd gone after Kane took over as Attorney General.
He's facing his own legal difficulties, however. Before he left the office, he played a key role in the investigation not only of Jerry Sandusky at Penn State, but also of Penn State's President Graham Spanier and how Spanier covered up Sandusky's crimes. Fina is facing an ethics investigation over complaints that he overreached as a prosecutor in that case and unfairly turned a defense lawyer into a prosecution witness. He denies that. A ruling in that case, which worst-case scenario could lead to him losing his law license, is imminent, and we should get it any week now.
So, really, I mean, you know, nothing happened to him to the full extent of what happened to Kathleen Kane. And I'm wondering, if this would have happened in the Me Too era, do you think that there would have been greater emphasis on Porngate?
Yeah, I think one of the tensions that swirls around this story is how do you separate the messenger from the message? I think it's hard to say for sure, only to speculate that I think it was so, I mean, I remember sitting in that courtroom, it was so clear that Kane broke the law and lied about it. So I don't know that her fate would have been any different, but I wonder if somebody like Frank Fina's would have changed. I think somebody like that would have probably been forced to slink further into the shadows, the way that we've seen a lot of male figures who've been toppled in the Me Too era now.
If she had found some way to disconnect the story of the porn and that scandal from her own efforts to save her own skin, it would, I think, been much more effective. But she never wanted to put down that weapon.
Katie Colinari, Craig McCoy, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me.
Nice talking.
And that's it for the show. The Why is produced by me and Shai Binyakov. Special thanks to Katie Colinari for production help. Mike Villers was our engineer. You can follow us on Twitter at Shai Binyakov and at Annette JH. Download The Why wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to drop a review. We'd appreciate it. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.